You're listening to the Big Guy Fantasy Sports Podcast Network. Welcome to the Nasty Cast.
Hello and welcome to the Nasty Cast. I am your sole host this week, Van Lee, back from hiatus. That's not entirely true. I am back from hiatus, but I'm not your sole host. In fact, I just wanted to talk to you really briefly, because it is now Thursday evening, and I have not posted the episode yet, due to some technical malfunctions. Surprise, surprise. Well, I wanted to go ahead and give you a couple of tidbits of information before we actually get the episode started. First off, there was a huge trade that was made today, and that was, in fact, Justin Upton of the Tigers, just went to my beloved Angels. He was traded basically for Grayson Long, who's a third-round pick from 2015, I believe, and a player to be named later or cash. It's a big deal for the Angels, and I'm pretty thrilled about it. Basically, they're going to get Upton, pay his whole salary for probably just the remainder of this year. He has an opt-out clause, and I think he takes it. If he doesn't, then there's, I think, $88 million for the next 4 years, which is still a pretty good bargain considering, you know, deals like Yoenis Cespedes got, because Upton's a year younger and arguably more talented, in my opinion, particularly with Cespedes' injuries. So kind of a big deal. And a corresponding move, they also basically put Cameron Maybin on waivers. The Astros claimed him. The Angels just basically gave him away. They're going to pay the rest, or I believe actually the Astros are going to pay the rest of this year's salary, which is about $1.5 million, not a ton, but no other players exchange hands. So big deal there. I just wanted to let everyone know our thoughts on it since I'm posting this a little bit late. And then secondarily, the reason we had technical problems is that I was actually recording at work. Yeah, kind of weird stuff going on, but I had to try that. So you'll also hear me sound kind of poorly, but it's something we're going to work around. I'll get it fixed in time for next week's episode. So bear with us this time and we'll be good to go. So once again, this is Manly Van Lee and get ready for the Nasty Cast.
Get nasty.
Hello, welcome to episode 134 of the Nasty Cast Fantasy Baseball Podcast, brought to you by the Delicious Dots Pretzels. I'm Nathan Dockin. You can find me on Twitter at Nathan Dockin. And joining me this week, back from a single week hiatus, is Van Lee. Van, you had to delay the show by a minute to go get a wart removal band-aid.
I sure did.
You care to tell us that story?
I can. It's not as exciting as you might think. But basically, yes, I have a wart on my thumb. And I could care less about anywhere virtually else on my arm or hand. But it's right on the spot of my thumb that where if I type or grab something,
masturbate,
hits it. Masturbate, it's there. It's a problem. So I bought, I don't even know what brand, wart removal band-aids. And they have a little thing on it, and you just wrap it up. But here's the thing I'm learning about warts is, after that, after about a week of this, it gets down to the base of it. And I just showed it to one of my employees, and she referred to it as the seed. It just looks like a black speck of dirt. And I guess it's the base of the wart. And so once you get that pulled out, then you're fine and good to go. So hopefully by tomorrow, after wearing this band-aid, I'll be all wartless.
I suddenly regret asking. Ron, what's Ron Rigney with us again, of course. What's the worst place that you've had a wart?
Are we allowed to talk about nether regions on the NastyCast?
Yep, Ben just has to bleep it out.
Okay. No, I believe I'm... other than my hands, I've been wart-free as far as I know. So, yeah, I don't currently possess any warts. But by the way, Van, if you don't have a Dr. Scholl's wart removal pad, that's like the major leagues of wart removal band-aids. Anything else is like AAA. So
I don't think that's it. Hang on, I've got the pad. Oh, Compound W is
okay.
The name of it.
Those I guess are pretty solid. I don't know.
That's like the minor leagues of wart removal.
Yeah.
You know, Halloween is slowly approaching, and you could be a witch because they got warts all over the place. You could just leave it.
Just like, the one on my thumb, like, ah, look, I'm a man witch.
Well, you can just...
I made myself laugh with that one.
Man witch is delicious, by the way.
That was accidentally funny. Yeah, you just rub your thumb all over your face and everywhere else, and... That works, right?
You could be like that Adam Sandler Weekend Update skit where he just took the random stuff and was like Halloween costumes, like he was crazy blender guy, blender head guy or something. You could be like, I'm crazy wart thumb guy, so give me some candy.
If it would work. Also, I would be remiss if I did not take this opportunity, considering my past podcasting experience, of pointing out that the male form of a witch is, in fact, a warlock.
Hmm. That's much cooler. I guess I never really knew that. I just thought it was kind of like a wizard or something.
Sure. There you go. There's all kinds of them. There's warlocks. There's necromancers. This is a whole tangent that I'm not going to go down.
I think you've solved your Halloween costume with that, because you would be the wartlock.
Hey-o.
I'm on board. Let's make it happen.
All right. We can do this.
All right. Joining us today, the wartlock and the great Robaldo on episode 134 of the NastyCast. Going to be a great show today. We're going to talk about Rhys Hoskins, who's an alien. We're going to play some legit or quit. We're going to talk about 2018, because this season is practically over. And we're also going to do our closer report. And then when we get to the end, I'm not sure. Van, have you cooked up any sort of game for us to play?
I haven't, but I can. That is part of my specialty as a wartlock.
Okay. Well, we'll all be surprised then when we get to the end of the show to see what happens. But anyway, we could... I've got some housekeeping to get out of the way before we get into the show. Twitter, follow us on Twitter.
Housekeeping!
Fluffy pillow. You could fluff our pillows at NastyCastBGFS on Twitter, baby. Van is at ManlyVanLee, and Ron is at TheRealMaday, M-A-D-A-Y. And, of course, please go listen to Fantrax Dynasty Baseball, which is part of the Fantrax radio feed out there on iTunes, Google Play, all that fun stuff. Of course, Fantrax.com itself. You should go play all your games there because it's awesome. And also go to BigGuyFantasySports.com for all our baseball and football articles, and also to purchase Bob Lung's award-winning 2017 Fantasy Football Consistency Guide. Awarded the best fantasy football magazine by Cheat Sheet War Room for 2017, and use coupon code NASTYCAST to get $1 off of that bad boy, and it is cheap already.
And also number one on Amazon.
Yeah, that's right. Congratulations.
Number one
to
on
Bob
Amazon.
Lung. Kicking the damn Joe Pizzapia to the curb, friend of the show, Joe Pizzapia. Kicking his ass for at least a couple days, I believe.
And so now it's the black and blue book.
Oh, God. It, Pun City today. Jeez. We are on point. I'm going to go eat some manwich. Let's see. Oh, also, please rate and review the podcast if you like our puns and want some free Dots pretzels. Shoot us some 5 stars. We'll be eternally grateful. That's the one way really to reward us for the work that we put in to this show. And by the way, only a couple shows left this year. We're going to quit about halfway through September because everybody sort of turns their attention to football. That's pretty much what we've done every year for the last couple seasons. And then we come back after the season is done to do a season recap show, and talk about all our calls and make fun of each other. So that'll be a gay old time. So look for that as soon as the season's done. So don't unsubscribe to us for the off season just yet. But now, with all that said, let's move on to some news, and that is that Rhys Hoskins is an alien, Van. Is he going to hit 150 home runs next year?
Well, he just might. No, he's not going to do that. We're in a day and age where everyone hits home runs, right? That doesn't take away from what he's doing. I mean, he has 11 homers and 80 at-bats. That's insane. But remember that Marcus Thames did hit however many homers he did in April. So this has happened before. Temper expectations. He's still going to hit a lot.
I think Eric Thames
maybe
did that.
I'm not the only one that's done that now. I'm so excited right now. Thank you.
Dang it. Well, you get the picture. however, his numbers do look good, and maybe he'll have some Bellinger in him and kind of do what Bellinger's doing this year. I think that's obviously a best hope kind of thing, because Bellinger's been amazing. But Hoskins sure does have power, and he's hitting for average and walking like he normally does. So there's a lot to like about him.
I think, too, when you look, of course he's going to cool off. We know that. But one of the things that I like about him with these prospects that have come up, like Judge and Bellinger, is the Ks are insane. His are not. His are actually only at about 16.3. The walks are pretty high at 13.8. And when you look at his metrics across the board, it's just fun to look at the video game type numbers, like 515 ISO, 824 slugging, 495 wOBA. I mean, it's ridiculous what he's doing. As you guys know, I try to dig for other facts and stats I can find about these players. And so I was able to dig up a few interviews that people had done with people who knew Rhys Hoskins growing up. So I was wanting to give you some of the kind of the best quotes of things he's been able to accomplish in his life, because we know the insane numbers he's putting up. So one of the ones I found was that when Rhys Hoskins was born, he actually drove his mom home from the hospital. Yeah. Wow. He also, on a family vacation to Niagara Falls, you know how people will go down Niagara Falls in a barrel? He actually decided to go up Niagara Falls in a cardboard box and was successful with that. So,
it's incredible.
He is. I mean, he does it all. He also, I don't know if you guys have ever read this, but when he was in college, he was bit by a cobra on a hiking excursion, and after 5 days of excruciating pain, the cobra died. So, the last thing I have here, I have two more. Van, you'll appreciate this one because you're the bowling guy, you know, you're Mr. Perfect Game. So I don't know if you've ever done this, but he actually was able to bowl a perfect game using just a marble.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really impressive.
Yeah. And then after that, last one I had, this was another college one. He was able to, he can pick oranges from an apple tree, and he took those and he made some of the best lemonade his teammate ever tasted. Overall, just a guy that does everything just otherworldly, you know, almost like a superhero. So I just wanted to share that with everybody. You know, those are some interesting facts I was able to find out about Rhys Hoskins.
Man of many talents.
Yeah.
That's impressive. I like him even more now. You know what I like about Rhys Hoskins is that his name reminds me of John Rhys-Davies, which reminds me of Indiana Jones, those movies. I cannot get my 5-year-old or 6-year-old to watch that movie.
Just tell him that Short Round exists, and that'll take care of it.
Oh my gosh, I've got a whole story about that I won't tell on the air, but ask about it as soon as we're done. Rhys Hoskins, I mean, obviously power is never going to sustain, but it is very encouraging, a lot of the plate discipline stats that do solidify rather quickly and that indicate that, you know, he has a very good control of the plate, just a 26% chase rate out of the zone, 5.3% swinging strike rate. That's ludicrous. I don't think there's any way that even that holds over the course of a full season, or, you know, probably anywhere close to that. If it does, then he's going to be an incredible hitter, like he's been in AAA for the, this last year, and then AA the prior, where he hit 38 home runs back in 2016. But, yeah, the strikeout rates are a release, and I think that leads to a little bit more sustainability than, Aaron Judge, I will say, is obviously he's got just light tower power, and I don't have any reason to think that he won't hit 35-plus home runs for years and years to come. But the batting average, I feel, is going to be a lot safer for a guy like Rhys Hoskins, who's going to make a lot more contact, and he's going to strike out a heck of a lot less. So I definitely do like him going forward. It's going to be interesting to see exactly how overdrafted he gets going into next year. Perhaps this September will dictate a lot of that. So we shall see. But I am intrigued. But let's move on to some legit. Oh, actually, you know what? I forgot about this. We're going to talk about the Mike Leake trade. Very, very important going out to the Mariners. Any opinion on that? Does that change your probably already low value on Mike Leake at all?
No. I mean, the only place I had Mike Leake was in a couple of deeper leagues where I had some injuries, and he had a nice couple of starts coming up as a spot starter. And he was kind of, I think this whole season, he's kind of pitching over his head a little bit. And as the season has gone on, his metrics have kind of, I think, normaled up a little bit, leveled out, however you want to say it. But overall, I don't really feel a need to go out and add him anywhere else that I don't already have him. And even in those leagues, I think that it's a case of I might try to see what else I can drop him for. Maybe I could drop him for the guy that's probably going to replace him in the rotation, our guy Jack Flaherty there. So, I mean, I look at Mike Leake's numbers across the board. There's not really six Ks per nine. He's walking over two guys. He's giving up a homer per game. He's just kind of an innings eater, better real life pitcher, I think, than fantasy. So, unless it's a deep league or an NL only league, before, that's the only place I had him. In AL only, honestly, I like him even less as far as an AL pitcher than I do an NL pitcher. So, no thanks.
Yeah, that's pretty much hit the nail on the head. I mean, I haven't been that excited about Leak since we realized last year that he really wasn't all that good, even after that big contract he signed with the Cardinals. I think the most important and fascinating thing to look at with this trade is the fact that the Cardinals receive minor league shortstop whose name is Raider Asanio, which is an awesome Ooh. Name to begin with. Yeah, I don't think he really pans out to be
Raider
anything.
Of the Lost Ark. We were just talking about him.
See, it all ties together. Yeah, so who knows? Maybe his outlook will be less bleak.
Boo. Huh? Nope.
Anybody?
Nope.
I know. I already used it in text. Shame on
you. Got to hold on to gems like that, Van. yeah, it's funny. Some Cardinals fans on Twitter and elsewhere on Facebook justifying that Mike Leake trade when they signed it, which it's not like it's the worst trade, but they're, you know, everybody's giving him crap and they're like, oh yeah, it's not that bad. And now everybody's so psyched to not have that contract. All of a sudden it was a terrible contract. So that's always fun to hear that sort of thing. But yeah, Mike Leake, I mean, I remember, you remember back in April, do you remember 135 ERA and 33 and a third innings pitch? Oh my God, is Mike Leake the next ace as he turned the corner? His ERA has steeply declined as the season has worn on. It was still 309 throughout May, and then June it was 430, July 476, and then August 888 over 25 and a third innings pitch. Mike Leake is still Mike Leake, 29 years old. His value doesn't change for me at all, I don't think, going out to Seattle. But like we did mention, Jack Flaherty, it's Flair time. And he is very exciting, and we talked about him in some depth back in the Fantrax Dynasty podcast that we just recorded. So for the full scouting report on him, go listen to that. That's like a plug/tease, right? That felt pretty good.
It was nice. I liked it.
It was well done.
So we're not going to talk about him now, so take that, all you non-listeners.
One last point about Mike Leake here. I just found this. This is on the St. Louis Cardinals page of MLB.com. Under a story titled Leak Dealt to Seattle for Minor Shortstop Asanio, Ascanio, whatever. But the most important thing is the video has a still image of Mike Leake, and it looks like he's walking off the mound, but he's not wearing an undershirt under his jersey, and the top two buttons are unbuttoned, so it's just like chest. It's the most bizarre. Like, I've never seen a baseball player wear their jersey like this. I mean, it's bizarre looking.
His chest is also leaking out.
It's like perfectly hairless, which is also kind of bizarre.
That's kind of weird. Think he shaves it?
Based on this picture, I bet he does, because he's got the long hair, he's got facial hair. I'm sure he manscapes a bit.
I bet he's a wax guy.
Probably, yeah. I mean, it's pretty smooth.
Are you a wax guy, Ron?
Certain areas, yes.
Okay. No way. Just shave. I don't do the wax.
Say no more.
We're going to need more wax.
Oh, good stuff. All right.
Now, if you want to know anything about our boy Raider Ascanio, there's really not a whole lot to know here. He's been with the Mariners since 2013, and he's pretty much been exclusively in rookie ball and A ball, and there's not a lot to get excited about. Doesn't seem like there's a lot of power. He's got one double-digit steal season, but overall – I don't know. We'll see what this kind of turns into. But overall, nothing that you really need to rush out and try to add.
Yeah, I can see that he was safely off my radar. Didn't know a thing about him. So
pretty good bet that he's going to probably stay off the radar also.
I would say so. Watch him like save this sound file, and then he's the next Mike Trout, and he throws it back in our face.
That'd be fine. Hey, any publicity is good publicity.
Sure, that's true.
Indeed. All right, let's play some legit or quit. I think it's been a few weeks since we've done this. So let's start off with a fun one. Good old Edwin Jackson has been somehow really good this year, Van, for the Nationals. I forgot to pull his numbers. I think he's got a 350 ERA because I wrote him up on Fantistics after his last start. What do you think? Can he continue this run of success?
Well, I have his numbers right here. And no, he will not continue this run of success.
That is also what I deduced.
3.33 ERA, so pretty solid. Unfortunately, a 6.17 K per 9, a 3.17 walks per 9, which isn't terrible, but not good. FIP and XFIP do not like him. They both peg him at 5.5 runs, and that's really what I think it is. I mean, he lost his value as a spot starter or a decent streamer years ago. He's 33, so he's not that old. He just doesn't have the stuff. Didn't he sign a big deal with the Cubs? Is that who it was? And then he just sucked from there. I can't remember. But anyway, he's not fun. So, no, I'm going to avoid Edwin Jackson like the plague. He's getting a major quit from me.
Yeah, let's not lose sight of the fact here, boys, that this is Edwin Bleepin' Jackson we're talking about here. So, and even even successful things, you know, the 3.33 ERA, you know, you look at his numbers across the board, and he's a guy. I will say though, I think he's pitched above his head at times in his career, and he has put together a nice career, and he does do a nice job of kind of reinventing himself every few years to where you don't hear about him for a while, and then somebody needs a spot starter and he gets signed and he comes in and he pitches okay. I will say though, in real life, I think the Nationals have to be ecstatic with what they've gotten from him in real life. But he's allowing almost two homers a game. He's walking way too many. He's not striking out enough. And overall, I don't think there's anything that any scenario that I can add Edwin Jackson. So no thanks. I'm going to pass. I do like though the fact that when I did look up his numbers, it reminded me that he was part of the Rays, but the Devil Rays back in the day. So that, yeah. I forgot about that also. And we can't forget too as well, Edwin Jackson has a no hitter to his career, to his name also. I think he pitched I think it took him like 500 pitches to get it in that game, but he does have a no hitter. So
there you go. So
that's the one bright spot, I guess. Yeah,
take that, all you non no hitting throwers.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, there's
somewhere
really...
Dallas Braden is like, yeah, see.
Oh God, yeah. There's been some really random ones. That's fun though. Just not a lot to love here, really. I think you can point largely to the lack of strikeouts, like you guys said, 6.17 K per nine, just a 268 BABIP and a very high 78.9% strand rate. That's all unsustainable, and it's not like he's limiting hard contact or anything like that. He's got a 31% hard contact rate, and there's nothing really he's picked up a tick of velocity this year, but that's it. He hasn't really changed anything that he's throwing. His pitch mix is pretty much still the same. This is not something that I would even be bothering with as far as streaming. I would just be flat out avoiding the Edwin Jackson. Sorry to Edwin Jackson and his family. But let's see, who do we got next? Colton Wong. Ron, I was surprised to see he had 340 plate appearances this year. He sort of flew under the radar for me. But what do you think about Wong this year? Is he finally reviving his career after some down season last year?
I think so. I think, you know, we you said with the plate appearances, I mean, it's just the main issue has been the injuries. But he was kind of slumping a little bit there. But I think overall he's a nice piece in the middle infield. He is 26. He is getting, as far as we talk about baseball, he is kind of getting towards where, you know, a lot of guys are supposed to hit the prime years that they're going to have. And I think it's just a case of, and we talk about this on here a lot, you have to kind of take in context what he is going to do. I don't think he's going to be an overly powerful guy. And, you know, the stolen bases that we thought we would get with him, I don't know if we've really seen those just yet. I don't know if we've really gotten those. I mean, he had a couple of 20 stolen base seasons in the minors. Look at his 2016 numbers and 361 plate appearances. He had 7 steals and 5 homers. So I think as far as if you're looking at maybe a guy to help you in the average department, maybe if he can sustain that 392 OBP that he has now, because he's only a 324 career OBP guy, I think he could be helpful. But the thing that concerns me is I don't know how many counting stats I'm going to get from him, and I almost feel like he might be a better real-life player than a fantasy player. So he's a guy maybe if you miss out on one of the top second baseman, top middle infielders that you could go after in the late rounds, just kind of see what you have as far as what he can give you for a little bit. Cause I mean, if you get him late enough, he's a guy that you could cut ties with and see what you can add or trade for. And you're not going to lose a lot, but I mean, 305 at 310, 305 average is nice. That's nice to see. And like I said, the OBP, but I'm just kind of skeptical that you're going to get a lot of counting stats from him at this point.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned the lack of counting stats. Through 340 plate appearances, he only has 4 homers and 6 stolen bases. But the triple slash line is 310, 392, 452. That's a little Nick Markakis-y to me, which I'm not that interested in, though it is a little better in the middle infield. However, I wonder if, and this is just submission on my behalf, but I wonder if the Cardinals maybe said, look, let's just focus on putting the bat on the ball. know, work in the at-bat, worry about the other stuff later. So I think there's maybe some resurgence to be had, perhaps next year if he finishes out strong. So I don't know. Maybe he could get to 10 homers, 20 steals again. I'm not going to bank on that. But as a middle infielder on your deep team, I'm fine with this because he's not really going to hurt you anywhere. He's going to put up those good triple slash numbers. He's just, if it continues, may not give you much homers or steals or runs or RBI for that matter.
Or any other counting stats. He stinks. Boo. by the way, Van is recording from an electrical storm. So in case people are wondering why his audio sounds a little different than previous years, the hot yoga studio, you know, it's located in Tornado Alley. And
that's absolutely correct. Yes. Yeah. In fact, that's true. Hopefully this isn't too bad for you folks out there. Within a few weeks, we'll have that sorted out. Hopefully next week, I'll even have something a little better for it, but we'll get there.
I figured we should at least mention it since we did it on the Fan Track show and not this one. I'll be like, what the hell? Van got electrical powers or something like that?
I honestly thought the exact same thing, with the exception of the electrical powers bit.
It'd be a pretty fun superpower to have.
It'd be like Jubilee from the X-Men, right?
Jubilee?
Wait, no. She shot, like, fireworks out of her hands. That's what it was.
I'm not a comic book guy. I don't know if you are, Ron.
Oh, this is the cartoon.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not a huge X-Men guy anyway.
Well, comics the hell or movies with both of you.
He's about to shoot lightning bolts at both of us through the airwaves, so we gotta watch out.
Braveheart, now you're talking me language. anyway, let's see. Yeah, Colton Wong. You guys mentioned the 310 average. That's on a 360 BABIP, and with just a 29% hard contact rate, that's below average. 20% line drive rate, nothing to write home about. He has cut 5% from his chase rate, but nothing else really in his plate discipline has changed, except for one thing, and that is that at least in this somewhat small sample size, he's finally hitting lefties. Up to a 31% hard contact against lefties, that's actually a better mark than he's posted against right-handers, and an 11% walk rate, which is double his 5% walk rate from last year against lefties. So I think that still I'm not buying it just because he's living on an inflated BABIP that won't hold given that batted ball profile. So I'm not really buying any sort of breakout or anything like that, but kind of like you said, Van, if you're in a deep league and you're just looking for a middle infielder, I think that there's probably worse options because he will chip in some speed and some home runs. But otherwise, I'm not going to be targeting him in any trades in the offseason in Dynasty Leagues or anything like that.
Let me ask this. If he were to go on a tear and just start hitting the cover off the ball, what would you guys think they would call it?
Oh, boy, I don't know.
Molten Wong. Because he's on fire. Huh?
Oh,
you like it?
Yeah.
That was my nickname back in college, Molten Wong. So I used to give it to the ladies hot.
He's also Hawaiian, so you could actually call him the Flying Hawaiian.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Could you call him the Flying Wong?
I don't see why not.
Okay.
Oh, so many avenues to go down here. But instead, we're just going to take a break and come back with some 2018 jibber jabber.
Nasty. You're listening to the BGFS Network, where we keep fantasy real.
All right, we have returned on the nastiest of casts as I continue to clear my throat because I have a sinus infection that will not leave my body. This has been the worst fall. I don't know. I can't decide if it's allergies. So I apologize if I sound nasally like a former guest host or former co-host Joe.
That's how I could tell the difference between the two because you both have the accent. But he was a lot nasally, more nasally.
Exactly. I tell him that all the time. And I think he still listens to these, so. You suck, Joe. Anyway. what are we talking about? Oh, yeah. We're moving forward. Also, my butt's asleep. life is tough, guys. I tell you what. Anyway.
It's tough out here in the streets, man.
It is, yeah. I've got this makeshift podcast, too. I should take a picture of this, because there's like my laptop is on this dresser. There's a pillow between me and like this mirror that's on the walls, so hopefully catch me if I fall asleep, but also sort of dull the sound, you know, help the acoustics. Mm-hmm. Kind of like Van, you're set up right now in the bowling alley.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Very acoustic friendly. Yeah, and this and my microphone, like my stand, is hanging on by a thread. So, by the way, if you guys hear like some sort of deafening crash, that's just it's not the apocalypse in North Dakota. Hopefully, not nuclear war. It's just my microphone falling completely off of this dresser.
Well, that's better than what I've got because I forgot my mic stand, so I'm just holding the microphone like a caveman.
Like a stand-up comedian. Give us a routine, Ben.
All right, how about this? So the other day, I was at the store, and somebody came in and said, I'd like to buy this. What a jokester! Did I do it right?
I like the voice.
Or pretty I could accurate. Do like the redneck people and be, here's your sign.
There you go.
When you go to the store and the clerk don't know where the batteries are, here's your sign. Nailed it.
Yes, you did.
That actually is my favorite Jeff Foxworthy routine, though. It's funny you picked that one.
Is it?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I could have gone with the guy who just drinks a lot, and that's his whole bit. He's like, I'm the intellectual. I drink scotch.
Ron White?
Yeah, that's the one. The guy who hasn't come up with a new joke in 20 years.
That's true.
He's busy drinking. Take it easy on the poor guy. He's got a liver to murder. Anyway, we got some. We got a Twitter question this past week, and it sort of evolved into a keeper question. And I thought it would make for a little bit of interesting banter on the show. And that is between Jonathan Scope and Justin Turner. I was kind of interested to see your guys' opinion on which guy you're drafting earlier. Come 2018, Scope is obviously having a fantastic season. Justin Turner hitting for a really high average with less power. He's really cooled off over the second half so far. But, Van, what do you think between these two? Who are you drafting first next year in drafts?
It's a tricky one because I generally don't like Justin Turner. I agree what he's doing is good, and he's obviously done it for a couple seasons now, so there's reason to believe he can continue doing it. But I just something about him I don't care for. Now, that said, a 328, 420, 531 line is really good. He walks a lot. He's got some power, not a ton. He steals a couple. I think he's got six so far this season. But he's also 33. That's the scary part for me. When does he start to fall off a little bit? Scope is significantly younger, 8 years younger. He's going to be 26 here in a couple months. And he's kind of coming into his own. And if I knew Scope were going to have a repeat of this year, and hit 300, then I'm going to go Scope all day because he's 29 homers. But the walk rate's so much lower with him. He only walks about 5% of the time this year. Years before that, it's been in the 3% range. And that's the kind of profile that I avoid. I don't like guys who can't walk because if they struggle with the batting average, it brings the whole place down. Kind of like Rougned Odor this year. That's a good example. So everything says I should say Justin Turner, but I just can't quite do it. I think I will in the long run say Justin Turner, but man, I would much rather have Scope because if he can hit 300 like he is this year, then you're going to have a hell of a season.
I shall not say Justin Turner. Scope is hands down the one for me. The thing I like the most about him, I do, and all the things that you said, Van, dead on with what I was going to say as well. The thing I like the most about Scope, though, is the homers are trending upward. The walk rate, even though it is still at 5.5, it's way better than the 2.8 and 3.2 that he's posted before, but still needs to go up a little bit. I think Justin Turner for me is just kind of vanilla, and he is a little bit older. He's kind of been around in the minors for a little while, and he is playing well, but I just think that you go with the guy that's got the 300 average and has got the 30 home runs that he's probably going to have. So he's the guy that I would go with, definitely. And I think, too, when you look at the value of this, I will say about Justin Turner, though, the thing that would give me a little bit of pause with Jonathan Scope is I think he's going to shoot up draft boards. He's not going to be the value that he was this year, obviously, or in previous years. He's going to be a guy that for middle infield, what he's going to give you with the power numbers. I think it's and that kind of brings me to another point too. But I'll finish this one first. I think he's going to be a little more costly, and I think he's going to cost a little more than I think I might be willing to pay in certain formats. That said, I think that Turner, however, would be a little bit more of a value because to me he's a guy that kind of gets forgotten. And he'll post 20 homers this year. He might hit 10 steals, but the slash line is pretty solid. But I think overall it's harder to find what Scope is doing at second base than what Turner is doing at third base. And to me, that's more valuable. So it brings to question, do you pay that price for that middle infield production, or do you kind of wait around on it and get a guy, you know, at second that's a little bit different than that profile and maybe go with Turner later on and kind of get the value? So overall, I'd go with Scope, but I'm not going to overpay for him. But it is hard to argue with 30 and 100. And if he does sustain that 300 average, it's hard to argue with that production at second base.
Yeah, those are very good points, Ron. I think that if we're just answering the question that I asked, and which is just which one are you drafting first next year, I think I probably would lean towards Scope just because second base got so ugly this year, and he does provide some really nice pop from second base. But as an overall talent, I like Justin Turner better, and he might actually go later in drafts next year. And, you know, keeper context, I guess it would depend on my answer, you know, would vary depending on the keeper context, but, you know, that would vary league to league. But I just am still not fully bought in on the Scope. You mentioned the, 304 batting average this year. That's on a 342 BABIP, and I just don't see any way he comes close to that again. It's not like he's fast at all. He doesn't have an obscene hard contact rate. It's 34%, which is a little bit above average, but still not crazy. You know, he's got a pretty decent pull rate, I guess 45%. That's what's led to 20% home run fly ball. So the power is legit, but I just don't see the batting average sustaining. And he's going to drive in probably 110 runs this year. He's got 97 RBI already. But that's another thing that is going to be really, really hard to repeat. He's got a 363 batting average with men in scoring position this year. That's going to be really hard to repeat. So overall value, I think I would still prefer Justin Turner, walking more than he's striking out this year. The power, I sort of misspoke earlier. I guess the power has come back around better than I thought. He's got a 203 ISO right now in 103 games. And, you know, with a batting average like that, that makes a big difference too. So I like both these guys, but I guess I would go Scope just as far as 2018 drafts. But we can move on to some closers then, boys. What do we got here? Let's see. Let's start off with the Rockies, who apparently have shifted things around a little bit. So, Ron, why don't you start us off with that bullpen? What's going on there?
Well, it looks like if you look at Greg Holland's performance over the last 10 games, there's been some serious blowups, and it seems like the stuff has been off. So, as I kind of always wonder with these guys that just suddenly start to suck, I wonder if there's an injury somewhere. I wonder if he's not fully healthy. But it seems like he was able to get a save Monday night. So it looks like maybe they might be throwing him back in that role. But the ERA is high. The WHIP is high. Over the last, like I said, 10 games, you know, when you look at the earned runs allowed, I mean, he's got a couple with three, he's got one with four, he's got a couple with two. Doesn't give you a lot of confidence as far as him as a closer. I actually own him in the BGFS dynasty, and that hasn't been too...
I traded him to you.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you for that. It did actually work out for a little while, though.
It worked out a lot better for you because I got Stephen Piscotty.
Okay, well, there you go. So I guess I'm getting paid back for the Piscotty deal. So, Adam, I'm looking at their depth chart here. They got Adam Ottavino listed second, and he's been very... unimpressive. Jake McGee has actually looked pretty decent, so he's a guy that's kind of lurking there in the background that they could give some save chances to. But overall, it's just like any other Rockies pitcher, whether it's a reliever, whether it's a starter, they're pitching at Coors. So are you cautious with that? You know, it just kind of depends on what your needs are. But it seems like over the last 10 games that Jake McGee has had the fewest blowups. He still had one where he's allowed three earned runs in a third of an inning. So I think if I had to go with a guy, I'm gonna stick with Greg Holland. But you know, you got to kind of be aware of Jake McGee kind of lurking in the background there. Pat Neshek's a guy there I'll throw in as well that they have added that I don't know if they would throw him in the closer role or not. But to me, it's Holland, McGee, and then maybe Neshek might get a chance here and there if the other two really really start to implode.
I'm gonna take a slightly different route, and I'm actually gonna say for the rest of the season, I'm gonna go with Greg Holland. Or I'm sorry, Jake McGee, excuse me. Because you mentioned if there might be an injury with Holland. I don't think it's an injury. I think it's just that he's coming back from Tommy John and he's worn himself out. I think next year, because we've seen how good he was early in the season, he's going to go right back to being really good. I just think he's tired, and I don't think anything's going to fix that other than a lot of rest. McGee is in a little bit healthier shape than Holland, so he's putting respectable numbers up. He's striking out over nine innings, 3.26 ERA. FIP actually thinks he's better at 2.89. So I think I'm going to look at McGee really getting the bulk of saves. Holland's slider has been nothing. It's been flat and just kind of floating over the plate, and that's why he's been. Maybe that just goes back to, I think, just being tired.
I'm actually totally with you there. I speculated on McGee in a couple leagues, and I managed to get two saves over the last week or so from him. And so I think that you could see pretty much a closer by committee there between Holland and McGee. So I would definitely hang on to Holland if I owned him. But I would also be speculating on McGee if I'm looking for saves. And I think that it does bear mentioning Pat Neshek. He could get the stray save, but I think, in my opinion right now, it looks like he's the third guy in that bullpen. So, Van, let's stick with you. Your beloved Angels. Do we finally have a guy? We got Bud Norris hitting the DL now. What the hell? It seems like we talk about these guys every week. Do we finally have a candidate for closer?
No, we don't.
Damn it.
We have candidates, but we don't have a closer is what it would be. Yeah, Norris is on the DL. I think he's done as a closer for probably his career. That doesn't mean he can't be a decent reliever at some point, but I don't think anyone really deals with that unless the team with a ton of injuries again. Bedrosian's been fine. Parker's been fine. Even Yusmeiro Petit has been fine. But there's been no rhyme or reason or consistency to the way Shosh is using them. I still think Bedrosian's the guy just because I think he's the best pitcher of the bunch. Parker's also 32, so I don't really have a whole lot of confidence in older closers when somebody like Bedrosian, who's mid-20s, is out there in a better shape. So any of these guys can get saves, and that's the problem, is because Shosh is just going to use them randomly. So I don't know. If I'm speculating, I'm still going to stick with Bedrosian.
Yeah, same here. And to me, Bedrosian's been the guy all along. It's just been a question of health, and Bud Norris is on the DL. Bud Norris has been terrible since the All-Star break, so he's kind of far down the depth chart now. But overall, I think long-term outlook, and especially with us winding down the season here and looking ahead to 2018, I think if you want to speculate on this bullpen, I would go Cam Bedrosian, but it's one of those ones that it'll be interesting to see how spring and the offseason play out and how moves that are made and add subtract guys from rosters are going to shake out. But overall, I think Bedrosian's the guy if you want to own somebody in this bullpen, but it's one of those ones that's further down on the list that if I don't have to go there, I'm going to try not to.
Bud Norris, more like Dud Norris.
Ew. I do think, glossing over that pun, that I'm trying to pick up Blake Parker if I can. He's got two saves on the 26th and 28th. And so it seems like if anybody at this point in time, given the minutia, trying to read the tea leaves and everything, could potentially be the guy, it seems like it might be Blake Parker for the rest of the season. The closer by committee thing has worked pretty well for them, so maybe they just continue to do that. But I tell you what, I'm picking up Blake Parker everywhere that I can get him, just on the chance that this is it turns into a trend rather than just a coincidence. But yeah, still got to hang on to Bedrosian too. And that's going to round out pretty much all the other ones that are in flux we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, and there's really no other clarity there that I could discern. So that's pretty much going to do it for the baseball stuff. Van, have you come up with any kind of game, you evil jigsaw bastard?
I do, and it is a baseball game, and I want to see it's going to be between you and Ron. And I know, Nathan, you've listened to my previous podcast, The Backup Catcher, in which we played a game called Triple Slash, correct?
Oh, hell yeah.
Everyone knows Triple Slash. I'll explain the rules because it's kind of applicable here. Triple Slash is where I give each of you a player, and you guess that player's Triple Slash line. If you're within 10 points of each number, which is batting average, on base percentage, and slugging, then you get a point. If you get that number dead on, you get 3 points. Winner's the person at the end. Now, because that's actually kind of tough, and really the only person who's good at it was my former co-host, Brian Vaughn, we are instead going to play Single Slash with you and Ron.
Okay.
The way Single Slash is going to work, you're going to guess batting average, career batting average for five players that I have for you guys. Like I said, if you're within 10 points of it, you get a point. If you get it spot on, you get 3 points. The winner will be the one with the most points. Are you doing ready?
We're going career, not just this season.
Career, yes.
Okay.
And this is clearly the honor system then, since we can't see if we're looking it up, so hand check.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you guys really want to cheat at single slash, be my guest.
Right, but, yeah.
But all right, so we'll go ahead and get started. So first off, and these are guys who are in the top 10 in the 2017 season in WAR. So in fact, near the top, if he wasn't number one, Anthony Rendon. Nate, we're going to start with you. What is Anthony Rendon's career batting at?
Anthony Rendon. One of my dudes. He's always had a pretty good batting average. I feel like there was one year where he was pretty disappointing. But I think, God, what's he hitting this year? Probably like 280 or something like that. I don't actually own him anywhere this year. I'm actually just going to do sort of take somewhere a little lower than that. I feel like that one season dragged the rest of his brief career down. I'm going to go with 278.
278. And Ron, what do you think?
I'm going to go with Rendon. I'm going to say career because it seems like he kind of got off to – he had a couple seasons there and it was off to a slow start, kind of like he slumped a little bit. I'm going to say 268.
268. All right. Point totals. Nate gets 1 point. Ron, 0 points, unfortunately.
Wow.
Yeah,
actually almost got 3 points. You said 278. Anthony Rendon is a career 279 hitter.
Wow.
Well done.
I know my Anthony Rendon. That was a good pick for me.
Next player, Ron, we're going to start with you. And that is, of course, the diminutive second baseman himself, Jose Altuve.
Okay, so you're going career here? Let's see. Been extremely solid over the course of the career. I'm going to say he is a 324 career hitter.
324. And Nate?
Oh, boy. That's a pretty good number. Especially considering this year he's hitting like 350 or something absurd, and he's done that one time before as well. God, I feel like he's probably pretty close with that, so I'm just going to go with 320.
320. You both get a point. Congratulations.
All right.
Ron was the farthest away, but you still got it. He is a career 317 hitter.
Yeah.
Those early seasons kind of dragged him down. These years actually really bumped him up, because this year and last year he's obviously hit for insane average. All right, so it's 1-2, Nate with the lead, and you're up first, Nate. And that is, of course, home run leader Giancarlo Stanton.
Oh, boy, batting average for him. God dang. I'm going to go with 253.
253, and Ron.
I'm going to say 261.
261. We have a tie game, gentlemen.
Damn it.
Ron got a point. Nate did not. He is a career 270 hitter.
Wow, really?
Yeah, that blew my mind. 270,
yeah, that surprises
that's impressive.
Me. Wow.
But he's also hitting what? Is he still in the 280s this year? He was like 285, if I remember right, the other day. So,
yeah, it's somewhere in that range.
Yeah, kind of out of nowhere.
All right, next up, Ron, you're going to start this one off, and that is the genius himself, Cincinnati Reds first baseman Joey Votto.
Let's see.
Or my favorite thing about Joey Votto is if autocorrect on your text fixes it, it's Joey Bottom.
Man, I hate autocorrect.
That's the worst. It leads to some fun conversations, though.
It does. I'm gonna say for the career, Joey Votto is at 309.
309 and Nate.
Once again, that was really, really close to what I was thinking. I had 305 in mind, and so I'm gonna stick with that.
305. 2 points, or you each get the point, I should say. Yes, Joey Votto is a career 312 hitter. So, Nate, you were off by 7. Ron, you were off by 3. So, tied going to the final player, 3
to
3.
Pretty good at this.
Yeah.
Not too shabby. Single slash is a lot easier than triple slash.
Yes, that's true.
All right, so next up is the Arizona Diamondbacks stud first baseman and the man that Ron picked to draft, what, I believe, second overall last week. Is that right? Yeah, I think it was somewhere around there.
Yep.
And Paul Goldschmidt. So, Nate, you're up first on this one. Who or what is Paul Goldschmidt's career batting average?
Boy, now this one's going to get me, I think. Because it's been really, really high for a couple years. To start off with, it was not so good. So, trying to figure out. I think the more recent plate appearance totals would probably balance that out a bit. I'm going to go with 297.
297 and Ron.
I'm gonna say 290.
290. We have a winner, gentlemen. That means one of you got this correct.
I was so excited there for a second, and then I realized that he wasn't talking to me.
Not yet. I just said gentlemen. But you are, in fact, correct. You are the winner.
Yeah! Suck it,
Ron. Is a career 302 hitter, so you're off by 5. Ron's off by 12. Just missed it. So congratulations to Nate as the inaugural winner of Single Slash.
Well done.
Thank you. Thank
now,
you.
I don't have to do anything. Is there any kind of thing I have to do since I'm the loser of the game?
It involves nudity and genital warts.
Yeah,
Also, nothing really out of the ordinary. Okay, cool.
No, normal stuff.
Van's going to come find you and just vigorously rub his thumb all over your penis.
Ron's actually excited for that.
Whoa. Well, I think one just knocked on my window. Well,
I love the way the furniture looks from the front lawn.
Oh, boy, this took a turn real quick. All right, guys. That's going to do us for this week. We'll be back next week with some more fantasy baseball goodness and perhaps another game, too. That was a lot of fun. So until next week, may the fantasy gods shine upon you.